here. Mother had to go to the city, and I'm going to cook dinner.
Yes, with your own little hands.
Uh-huh, and you're coming over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be over, Peg, right after dinner.
National Broadcasting Company invites you to listen to your favorite play, both Meet the Meat. Yes, friends, once again, you're invited to Meet the Meat, the Mortimer Meat, who live on Elm Street in Civic Center. Today, there's a buzz of excitement in the little white house with the green shutters as Peggy Meat and her best friend, Jill Donovan, discuss the situation.
And, Jill, when I got home from school today, there was this note from Mom. Listen. Peggy, dear, your Uncle Louie and I have taken the car and are driving to the city. You'll find some hash in the refrigerator. Hastily, with love, Mother. Jill?
Yes?
Jill, we're going to give a dinner party.
Oh, thanks, Peg. But the food at the Donovan household is very good and dependable.
We're going to have a party with boys.
Oh, Mother's cooking us boys? Oh, Peg, I'm devoted to hash. Who are the boys?
Well, I thought I'd call Elmer Nelson.
Elmer Nelson? That's square.
Elmer has always been a perfect gentleman with me.
I know. He bores me, too.
Who else? Well, I thought, Howard Smith.
Howie Smith. Oh, he's Mr. Dreamboat of 1947. Most popular boy in school.
Of course, I'll have to get Pop's permission, but that'll be easy. Pop practically goes to pieces when Mom is away.
Peg, does he still doze off after he finishes eating?
Uh-huh. Why?
The perfect chaperone.
I'll do.
Well, right. Hello, Lily. I was just on my way home. I've been phoning Mrs. Meek all afternoon, but nobody answers.
Isn't that the way of it, though? The man is always the last one to know. Prepare yourself, Mr. Meek.
Prepare myself? Lily, what are you talking about?
Mrs. Meek telephoned me and advised me that my once weekly appearance today was canceled. She's gone off to the city with a brother, Mr. Louie.
Oh.
She said she'd made up hash and that Peggy would warm it up.
Oh, dear, Lily, this is terrible. Why, I've invited one of my most important business contacts to dinner. I certainly can't serve hash to Mr. Longley. Why, no, he's used to the best of everything.
Yeah, and hash is the worst of everything.
Yeah, well, Lily, look, you just have to help me out. Now, you prepare our dinner tonight.
Mr. Meek, it depresses me to tell you that I will be unable to make a return engagement to your household today.
Oh.
I'm already booked to cook for the Ganders tonight. I'm going to serve them a tomato surprise. Mrs. Gander asked me to stuff the tomatoes with something that would really surprise them.
Yeah, well, what are you going to stuff them with?
Mexican jumping beans.
Somewhere downtown. He was out when I called the office, and I want him to give us permission for our party.
Howie Smith. Flutter, flutter, flutter.
I wonder if Howie would really come. After all, he's an older man. He must be nearly 18.
Howie Smith. Those dark brown eyes. Those long, wavy eyelashes. Those ears like Clark Gable. Those...
Funny. It sounded like you said Ugg.
Look on the corner.
Hiya, Peggy.
Elmer Nelson.
That's what I mean.
Oh, hiya, Peggy. Are you going downtown?
I am, too. Well, that is, I'm not going anywhere in particular, but I
thought... You thought if Peg was going downtown, you'd go downtown, too. Oh, that's sweet, Elmer. Real sweet.
I was talking to Peggy.
We're looking for my father, Elmer. As soon as we find him, we're going to ask you to come to dinner and spend the evening.
Providing you bring Howie Smith with you.
And providing we find my father and get permission.
Oh, your father is on his way home, or I think he is. I saw him talking to Lily and he was headed toward your house, Peggy.
Oh, we'd better turn back, Jill. Pop will be awfully confused when he finds Mom and Louie gone.
Well, I could come along, Peggy. Maybe I could help or do something for you. Or just hang around till it's time to eat.
You find Howie Smith, Elmer, and ask him about tonight.
Okay. But I don't know why we need that big ox for.
Oh,
Milner, how he has matured. Interesting. Glamorous.
Amazing. And so's Gregory Peck. But do I bother looking for Gregory Peck? No, I leave him alone and he leaves me alone. Do I have to, Peggy?
Yes, Alma dear, and hurry.
Bye, Alma dear. We're depending on you. So, good hunting.
Well, I wonder who that could be.
Peggy, will you answer the back door, please?
I know where Peggy is.
Oh, well.
Lily. Well, then you did decide to come over and help me out.
No, Mr. Meek. Came over to see if I could borrow some napkins from Mrs. Gander. The largest one you have, please. You know how Mr. Gander gestures with his knife and fork.
Yes, I understand. Well, you know where I get to keep the linen, so help yourself.
Mrs. Gander and I are extremely grateful.
Oh, dear Lily, I had hoped you were going to help me.
Oh, believe me, Mr. Meek, I would love to assist you, but I'm pledged to Mrs. Gander. However, Harold will do what he can.
Harold,
this is... Harold Hartman, come out of that floor bed! My cousin Harold, Mr. Meek. He's just crazy about flowers.
Here you are, Cousin Lily. A bouquet. I picked them myself.
I am touched, Harold. This is Mr. Meek, the one you're going to help out.
Oh, hi, it's Woody. Well, let's get going. I'll get things organized for you like you've never seen them organized in your whole life.
And we looked everywhere for you, Pop. Didn't we, Jim?
Oh, we sure did, Mr. Meek. It was a regular scavenger hunt.
Yes.
And now that we found you, can we have Elmer and Howie over for dinner? Can we?
Yes. It's an informal party, Mr. Meek. Ken and I'll eat up the hash and Mrs. Meek left.
Yes, well, now, please, girls, may I say one word? Well, thank you very much. Now, not knowing that your mother would leave so suddenly, Peggy, I invited a business contact of mine, Mr. Longwing, to dinner tonight.
Pop, you didn't.
Well, I'm just as unhappy about it as you are, dear. Now, I'll have to take him out to dinner.
Then can we have the hash, Mr. Meek?
Yes, you may, Jill. I'll take Mr. Longwing out, and then I'll hurry back home, and you can go right ahead with your party.
Oh, Pop, thanks. You're wonderful.
Oh, like she says, you're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to have something go my way once in a while. I'm just a little tired of being wonderful.
But you are. Now, let's see. You'll have hash, and a tossed salad, and a cooked vegetable. Come on, let's see what's in the refrigerator, Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. Mom would leave the hat in this bowl.
Take the cover off, Peggy. I'm drooling. Hat. And how we feel.
What the? Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Well, daughter, what is it?
Where the hat ought to be.
It isn't. There's a note.
A note?
Listen. Have you have a quick snack? Never take a trip without building up my strength. No, you understand, sign,
Louis. Really, yes.
Oh, Pop. Yes, what's that?
That is Harold Hartmeyer, Lily's cousin. I think he's in the basement.
Well, what's he doing?
Oh, he's helping me out, he says.
Helping you out with what?
Well, that's what I haven't yet discovered. Well, Peggy, now suppose you and Jill run down to the store and pick up something for your little party.
Penny and Frank. With relish and mustard.
And potato chips.
Oh, Pop, you're wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, now, run along, and I'll see if I can get rid of Harold Hartmeyer. Well, now, really, Harold, I appreciate all you've done. So now
it's... Oh, don't give it another thought, Shorty. Cousin Wooly said to fix you up, and that's what I'm going to do.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Take this living room. That wire running to that lamp. It's right out where anybody could trip on it. Here, I'll just run it behind the radiator.
Hey, well, now be careful, Harold. That cord's almost worn out, and the insulation's broken. Hey, if it touches the radiator, it might short circuit.
Are you telling me? Shorty, I'm an undiscovered Tom Edison when it comes to electricity. You just lift up the wire like this, and bring it behind the radio.
Well, Harold, you look more like Benjamin Franklin than Thomas Edison.
Hey, that did something awful to me. Everything's gone black.
Well, no wonder. You blew out the light.
Oh, that's a relief. I thought it got me.
Yes?
The lights in the kitchen just went out after we put the frames in the oven.
Yes, I know. Harold, we blew out a fuse.
Don't get excited, girls. Keep cool. I'll fix it. How do we fix it, Shorty?
Well, it's easy. You just put in another fuse.
Right. I just want to see if you do.
Oh, the doorbell. We'll get it popped. And hurry and get the lights in.
Yes, dear. Now, Harold, suppose you let me replace the fuse, You take it
easy. Nothing doing. My cousin Willie told me to take care of things, and I'm going to do just that.
Just that, yes. Well, very well. Just follow me. You'll have to go down to the basement.
Oh, out!
I marked my shin on that footstool.
Oh, boy, are you clumsy. Imagine a chump that can't even find his way around his own house in the dark. Why,
lovely. Just stay down on your hands and knees, Harold. Don't worry about the table. It's an old one anyway.
Hey, turn the flashlight over this way, Jody, so I can see where I'm going. Oh, thanks. Hey, what are you doing?
Hey, I'm opening the fuse box.
Oh,
yes. There. Now, to get out the burnt-out fuse, one that looks cloudy.
Hey, be careful. Don't get mixed up with that wire.
Which wire?
This one, right here.
That one,
yes.
Yeah.
Are you all right? Oh, Mr. Hartmeyer, are you all right?
All right. I've been electrocuted. If you stick a bulb in my mouth, it'll light up.
Jill, I'm afraid that's the only way my friend, Mr. Longreen, and your friends, Elmer and Howie, will know there's anybody at home.
Okay, but I sure feel like Paul Revere's friend. You know, one is by day, two is by night. Oh, Father, I am just desolate. The Franks are burned. Our plans are ruined.
Now, Peggy, things could be far worse.
They could?
Yes, Harold Hartmeyer could still be here, helping out.
Don't you that discouraged when you told him you thought the two of you'd have to climb up on the roof to fix the electric wires? I wonder when everybody will come. As if I cared. Here is dark. Too bad I didn't make photography my hobby.
Well, why, Jill?
Oh, I was just thinking. I could use your whole house for a dark room. I wonder where Howie is. Oh, how dismal.
Now I wonder what's keeping Mr. Longreen. I called the hotel and they said he'd started out. Did you hear someone pass tapping?
I think that someone's tapping at the window next to you. I'll turn the flash up faintly, real suddenly. Now! Yes! Forrest Carlock!
Oh, don't be silly, Jill. It's Elmer.
Oh, here's a resemblance. Kind of a strong one, too.
Well, I wonder what Elmer's doing at the window. Yeah, open it up, Peggy.
Peggy, is that you? Are you all right? Is everything okay?
Elmer, what in the world is wrong with you? Why are you snooping around our windows like that?
Oh, there's those two men at the corner.
What two men at which corner, Elmer?
The corner of Green and Six. I heard them under the streetlight. One of them was that goofy cousin of Lily.
Mr. Hartmeyer?
Oh, that's the one. This other man was asking where the meat house was, and Lily's cousin told the man not to come here.
Yeah, oh, good heavens, why?
Oh, he said the house was full of maniacs. They tried to electrocute him and set fire to him.
Oh, my.
Well, the man said thank you and went back downtown. And Howie Smith, he was with me. Well, Howie decided he didn't want to come over either.
Oh, Howie.
Now, please, Jill, please. Hey, Elmer, did you get a good look at the man who was headed here?
Oh, sure, Mr. Meek. He had a suit on.
Yes.
And a necktie. And a hat.
Yes.
I think it was a gray hat.
Little Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, now, please, dear, please, Peggy. Elmer, wasn't there anything else about the man that you can remember?
He was just the guy with the face.
With the face.
Oh, yeah. I don't suppose this is important. He said his name was Long Green.
Is he Long Green?
Oh, my customer.
Oh.
Tommy, now what?
All right, now. Come on out with your hands up. I got you covered like a tent.
Great heavens. Is that a gun?
It ain't no Roman candle.
Now, officer, I don't know what this is all about, but won't you come in? Yeah, I mean, take the front door off your shoulders, take the splinters off. And...
Oh, no, you don't. You don't lure me into that dark room to be slugged by one of your bloodthirsty gangs.
Gang? What are you talking about?
Don't give me that innocent stuff. I'm new on the force. But I seen you sneaking around in here with flashlights.
But, officer, you...
One false move, and I'll take this club and tap out. I surrender, dear, on your skull.
What is this? A preview of the next Humphrey Bogart picture?
Oh, a gun bar with the funny answers, huh? Well, you can all come into the judge. Come on.
Now, please. Now, look, officer, go away, please. We're not burglars. We live here.
Ha! That's a twist. And I suppose after this, you move right down to the vault at the First National Bank, huh? Come on.
But, officer, we do live here. He's my father.
Yeah, she's right. He's her father.
He's right. He's my best friend.
He's right. I'm the friend of her best friend.
Now, wait a minute. Am I going nuts, or does that voice come out of the window?
Well, that's Elmer. He came to warn us.
Oh, he did he? So, you're confessing you were burglarizing this house, and that Elmer is your lookout.
Yeah, but, officer...
You shut up.
He shut up.
And you, Elmer... You climb in through that window with your hands over your head, or I'll plug you.
Don't shoot, officer. I'm coming in. I'm coming in.
Well, I'll be a midget. Now, that's another twist.
Hey, well, that's just about enough, officer. Now, if you turn your flashlight on this boy, you'll see that he's just a boy. And these girls are girls. And
I get it. You're the mastermind over this gang of kids.
Look, I'm Mortimer Meek, and I'm a respectable citizen. So, come on, take us down to the police station, and we'll soon see whether you're right or we're right.
That's telling him, Mr. Meek. My father will have something to say about this. He's a lawyer.
And so will mine. He's an alderman.
And my father's... Well, my father's a taxpayer.
Yes. Well, officer...
What do you say we just forget the whole thing? I didn't see you. You didn't see me. Just go on with whatever you were doing when I interrupted you.
Yes, well, very well. Good night, officer. Would you please take the door frame off your shoulders?
Well,
I was fond of that door. Kept people out.
Personally, I got no friends. I don't get together with nobody and play games. I don't like to sit in the dark. My father's got no influence. And I'm glad of it. Good night.
Children, let's assess the damages. One, the electricity is off, at least until tomorrow, thanks to Harold. Two, the price of black cinder.
I tore my pants.
Howie was frightened off by Harold. He's had no food, no party.
Yeah, and my customer, Mr. Long Green, didn't come over, and I've probably lost a very important business deal.
As for me, when I left home, I forgot something.
What did you forget, Jill?
I forgot to stay there.
Well, I suppose we just have to make the best of it. Now, how about you three coming down to Green's drugstore with me?
Oh, gosh, Mr. Meek, thanks. Peggy, can I walk with you?
I suppose so.
Well, Jill?
I don't know, Mr. Meek. After all the excitement we've had, even a super-duper chocolate marshmallow strawberry delight with bananas on the side seems awfully cold.
I've got an idea.
Oh, please, Peggy.
Oh, this one's a creamy one. Elmer?
Yes, Peggy.
You go down to Green's drugstore with Pop.
Oh.
And Jill, you come with me.
What for? Where to? Why?
Come on, I haven't time to explain. But if I'm successful, we'll all be happy yet.
Well, goodbye, Miss Jimmy. Elmer, from this boat, sitting comfortably under the nice, bright light at Green's drugstore, shed a tear for me. I'll be with Peggy.
Mr. Meek.
Yes, Elmer?
could I talk to you about something personal, please?
Well, now, Elmer, don't you think you ought to go into personal matters with your dad?
Oh, no. Every time I start to talk about personal matters to my dad, he just shakes his head, sadly.
Sadly. Well, Elmer, what is on your mind?
Well, do you think that is if a girl likes a boy? I mean, when a boy likes a girl. Well, you know, Mr. Meek.
Thank you for the compliment, Elmer. Now, if you'll start all over again, perhaps we can work it out. Hmm?
It's no use. It's too complicated for anybody. I guess you have to suffer. Yeah, that's it. You just have to suffer.
Yes, well, suppose we both just suffer in silence, until we get to Green's drugstore.
Mr. Meek!
Oh, yes. Hello, Lily. Is the party at Mrs. Gander's over?
Oh, it sure is. Finished with a bang. After they ate, one of the guests, just for a laugh, put a lampshade on his head, and we nearly died. Then Mr. Gander plugged him into the wall, and he nearly died.
Well, that sounds very reminiscent, Lily. It's too bad your cousin Harold missed it.
Oh, it was most exciting, Mr. Meek. Just like an Abbott and Costello movie. This one guest, he thought up a new game, called it parlor hockey.
Parlor hockey? Well, after what I've been through, I'd rather not hear about it, but go ahead.
Well, this one fella, he divided everybody into two teams and gave each person an umbrella to use as a hockey stick. Everybody but Mrs. Gander.
What was Mrs. Gander doing?
Calling her insurance company. Well, Mr. Meek, sure has been enjoyable to visit with you. Tell Mrs. Meek I'll see her next week for my next scheduled appearance. And if you need any more tips around the house, please feel free to call my cousin Harold. Bye.
Goodbye, Lily.
Mr. Meek, when Lily said her cousin Harold was coming
back. Please, Elmer, please don't mention that name. At least not until we've gotten down to Green's drugstore. And I've had an opportunity to brace myself with Ed's double chocolate malted.
Look, Peg, do we have to ask that policeman? I've got a hunch that he'd rather not have anything more to do with us.
What he thinks doesn't interest me in the least. He's a servant of the people. Well, he's all the servants. Yours and mine.
Well, you keep him. I'll get along without servants.
Officer! Oh, officer! Could you please come over here?
Sure, lady. What can I do for you two? What's up? Want to play hide and seek in the dark some more?
I'll thank you to be civil to citizens. Don't forget, you're a servant of the people.
Servant of the... Look. Please get off my feet. Go somewhere else. Bother some other policeman.
Now stop acting like a little boy. We really want to ask you a question.
Okay. Okay, what's the question?
Well, supposing it was puzzled, a matter of life and death, for one person to get in touch with another person, to explain something that that second person didn't understand. Would it be considered illegal for that first person to get to see that second person if that second person didn't want to be seen by the first person she needs? Well, would it?
Look, I'm just a rookie cop. I'm as brave as the next guy. I want to keep Civic Center nice and safe for the citizens. But I am not a Philadelphia lawyer. I am not a Supreme Court judge. And I will not help you compound a felony and commit a crime. Then go away, far away. And let me meet up with some nice, quiet, two-bum killer that's down there.
Oh, well, now let me get this straight, girls. First, your father invited me to come over for dinner, and he didn't know your mother had gone out of town.
That's right, Mr. Longreen. And Mom had left some hash for dinner.
But Uncle Louie ate the hash. Her Uncle Louie has a very fine appetite.
And then this Harold person short-circuited the light.
Uh-huh. And then burned out the fuse box.
So that the flash got burned up, too.
And Harold is the one that told me your house was occupied by suicidal maniacs.
That's right. That was just before Elmer came to warn us.
And that awful policeman broke down the front door.
So, Mr. Longreen, won't you come down to Green's drugstore with us, please? It'll be the only bright spot in our day.
Well, young ladies, you win. I'll do it. Besides, I want to see my friend Meek. Any man who can go through a day like this and survive certainly deserves my business. Oh,
Dodge the light, folks. Dangerous to cross against traffic.
Hello!
Hello, Chris! Oh, you two again.
Hello, officer. How is the deer serving of the people?
Oh, is this the officer? The one who had the door around his neck? The one who thought Elmer was a midget?
Mr.
Longreen, you don't live here, do you?
No.
But don't be silly. Mr. Longreen is Pop's business friend from the city.
From the city? Well, Mr. Longreen from the city?
You're under arrest. Under arrest? What for? Disturbing the peace. Disorderly conduct. Mocking the uniform of the Civic Center Police and resisting an officer.
But I haven't resisted.
You will. You will. Now, you two beat it. And you, Mr. Longreen, start resisting.
And that's how it happened, Pop. Honestly, we meant well.
We meant real well.
Yeah, well, I guess I shouldn't have waited to have that double malted, Jim. Here, Elmer.
Yes, sir.
You pay for the food and ice cream, will you, Elmer?
Yes, sir.
Yes, and please, then the three of you go straight home. And don't speak to anyone. Anyone, you understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Father.
And I'll go down to the police station and see if I can get my friend Mr. Longreen out. And Peggy.
Yes, Father?
If I don't come home from the jail, you'll know I've decided to stay over with Mr. Longreen and get my share of peace and quiet. Yes, hello. Who? Oh, yes. Yes, this is Mortimer Meek. Long distance? Well, hello, Agatha. Oh, you had an exciting day, Well, good. No, it's usual around here. What? Louis was almost arrested for going through a stop sign? Good. And you gave the policeman a piece of your mind? And I suppose he gave you back his ticket? you talked the policeman out of it, eh? How's that again? Oh, you think the policemen here in Civic Center are much more polite. Well, dear, that's a matter of opinion. Strictly a matter of opinion.
Next week, same time, same station, you have a date to meet the meet. Be sure to tune in on your favorite family when Jill Donovan yells out,
Peggy! Peggy! Be quiet, Jill. My pops is taking a rest.
What did you say?
I said my father is trying to take a day of rest.
Oh, never mind, dear. I'm up now.
Oh, Father, I'm so sorry. Did Jill wake you up?
Hey, no, dear. You did. Telling Jill to be quiet.
Taken by Daryl Vaughn and Jill by Mary Frances Jessamine. Others heard on today's performance were Alan Price, Arthur Peterson, Stanley Shule, and Annette Sargent. Music arranged and played by Elwin Owen. Meet the Meets is written and directed by Les Weinrod. Be sure to join us again next Saturday over these same stations when the National Broadcasting Company again invites you to Meet the Meets. This is Ed Allen speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.